Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 11, where your hosts Kyle Jones and Alex Beaverson dive into the different worlds of public and private golf. We talk about some amazing golf that was played this week, where we're headed this weekend to play some more amazing golf, and then we'll wrap it up with a little off-the-cuff section presented by Alex Beaverson. So friends, thank you. I hope you're well. I hope you've played some great golf. If you haven't played great golf, I hope you found some time to embrace the moments. But here we are, episode 11. Alex, how are you, my man?
Good. I must say, I like this little intro music we got popping.
Yeah.
It came stock with the microphone that we have. But I like it. It brings a little zest to the beginning of our stuff.
It just turned into how we kick off every episode. You know, hello, friends, and welcome. It is episode 11, and we're here to talk about embracing the moments and some golf.
Yeah, dude. It was, so we somehow got hooked up with some absolutely insane golf. We've been talking about it all day today. It was 2 days ago that we played. An amazing golf course in the heart of Scottsdale, and I wasn't ready for it. It was absolutely phenomenal. It's a golf course called Estancia.
The Estancia Club.
The Estancia Club.
Yes.
And a golf course I've heard of. Maybe you've heard of it. I think they've been in some articles about being one of the best private courses in the industry. We got hooked up. And needless to say, jaw-dropping golf. A course that after we played, we both shook our heads. We're like, we could be members here.
Yeah, I could play it every single day. The world of expectations and the world of intention that is delivered at a property like this.
Yeah.
It's exceptional. It's the best of the best. And it inspired you and I to talk about the differences that we do face in the private sector of golf and the public sector of golf, and how many times the individuals of those two worlds, they may think that that's the only world of golf that exists.
Yeah.
And it's not true. There's golf that exists all across different platforms, from the highest of echelon to the lowest.
Yeah.
And Estancia happens to be some of the highest. So what were some of the things that stuck out to
you? Let me set the scene. So we drive 45 minutes. We walk into the club. We get there early. And we're like, let's go get a bite to eat. So we sit down, we walk into the club, we sit down, beautiful bar, seats were open, we sit down, and the bartender greets us like I would say any other, you know, bartender would. And you have the gall, the nerve to ask the question, do you guys take payment here? Can we pay for our meal?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is strange. Why would they not let us pay for our meal? Mm-hmm. So she was like, I'm not sure. Let me go ask my managers. To which we whisper to each other, are we allowed to eat here? And you were like, I don't know. Because a private club of this nature only lets people charge their account, correct?
Yeah. Typically they have a membership account that has all their debits and credits tracked on it.
Yeah. And so that was, that first like kind of took me aback. She had to go like find approval to allow guests like ourselves. We were invited on by a good friend of ours who's the TaylorMade rep in the area. And we played with one of the first assistants there. And we totally belonged there. We should have been there. We got invited to be there, but we couldn't like pay for our meal. You know, we ended up paying for a meal. They found a workaround, but it wasn't that question itself brought me to a place of like, oh, we're in a different world, mm-hmm. You know? So that's kind of step one. And then we'll talk more about it, but it brought up a larger conversation that, public golf that we work in this course, it's a very public course. You and one of our golf professionals here, Steph, our operations manager here, have talked a lot about the golf industry and the private side and how you both love that side, how it's a different world. And I got a little taste of that. Golf mm-hmm. professionals do different things at both of them. Mm-hmm. If you had to like put into words, you know, briefly, what's the difference between a private club and a public club? Because a lot of people don't know that. When they ask, is this a private club? I don't actually think they know what they're asking.
Yeah. To me, it comes down to the intention of the employee, mm-hmm. right? And what your focus is and what you're trying to accomplish, Like, what's the goal of the employee? Well, in public golf, as a general manager, I am running a business. I'm running an operation. And the number of stakeholders and people who have an interest in the financial stake of this business is numerous. And they don't all have the same interests. And not all of those are also aligned with the expectations or desires of our guests.
Yeah.
In the private industry, everything I just talked about is the same person. Hmm. The golfer is also the stakeholder. Wow. So the club that we played at, it's not a for-profit business. It's a 501c club of some nature where it's an equity club. If there are 300 members, they own 1/300th of the club. They're purchasing their equity stake with a large investment. Arizona clubs of this nature, they're about $250,000 to $400,000, a one-time payment to buy into the ownership of this club. And then these clubs are about $5,000 to $8,000, right? I think the number that we heard for this one specifically is $8,000 a month.
A month, yeah.
And now the leaders on this property, they're expected to be the masters of intention, right? Dedicated to delivering excellence in every way, shape, or form. At the end of the day, their rounds of golf are not producing a financial value, but they're producing an intrinsic value for all of the people who are choosing to play there or call that place home. So it's in a profession where, you know, someone like a golfer would take that same mindset to their business approach. We're always grinding, trying to get one stroke better. We're obsessing over being the best version of ourselves possible. There are times when the public world that gives you the opportunity to do that, right? Be the master of intention,
yep.
Be the best version of yourself, because there's actually no financial hindrance. There's nothing holding you back at some of these clubs, where at a place like this, my number one intention is to obsess over the environment that I'm creating and how my guests are feeling. But at the end of the day, how am I judged?
Yeah.
How are we all judged? GOP generation,
totally.
Right? Gross operating profit, right? And that is dollars.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, there are board members, there are stakeholders, there are investors who all have an interest in things to say about our company and how we operate it. So it's two very unique intentions. On the flip side of that coin, the public side, and what's so great about it is we get to operate a facility with no barrier for entry. We get to welcome every single individual in our community to come experience that same peace and joy that you and I have fallen in love with, and how every other golfer who chooses superstition and calls it home, they feel that same exact way. So it's wild when you really take a step back and look at the differences in these two worlds, the public and private sector. But Estancia was the best of the best.
Yeah, it really put on display the beauty of a private club. I mean, so from the golfer standpoint, we've talked about this too, like public golf, you go on Golf Now, you call the golf shop, you book on the website, and you prepay a tee time, you choose one that works for you and your foursome. In the private side, from the golfer standpoint, you have access to probably the tee sheet that only the members have access to. You put your name in there. You don't need to go and check in the pro shop. You walk in, you say hi to the cart staff. They're not even the cart staff. The professionals are outside as the cart staff typically, right?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And you head out to your tee time, and you know the general manager says hi to you multiple times. I mean, at Estancia, kudos to the hospitality team there and the leadership, because we were greeted by nearly every single, you know, person of interest or like notable person on that staff. Multiple
times. Different people. Yeah. Six. I counted six people. Four of them were all salaried managerial staff.
Yeah.
Every person is there to serve. They're there to be a servant leader. They're there to do something for the guest in front of them. We talked to two, maybe three people in the food and beverage side of things. Mm-hmm. But everyone is so focused on welcoming you to the club, being there for you. That was the locker room manager who took our order. Did you catch that?
I wasn't until I saw him in the locker room he gave me a locker room tour. And I was like, oh, this is your day job.
Yeah.
The club manager, whatever the title was, I'm going to say club manager. He was in the locker room, but he took our order at the bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he just said, hey, can I help you? What do you need?
Maybe that's because, folks, listen here. I'm not going to stutter. They had 12 rounds of golf. 12 rounds of golf that day.
Yeah.
So maybe they were just bored, right?
Sure.
Massive difference in the number of people through our doors and their doors, right? On a slow day. Slow day for us is like 58. Right?
Yeah.
58 is kind of where we hover around being slow. 45 is where, as a manager, I start to get terrified for being really low. So maybe they're just trying to find things to do. But it was as an inspiration for me to come back to my club and show my team, let me take some orders. Let me scrub some hooks. Let me do some things that are unexpected of me and show my entire team that, above all else, let's serve the person in front of us. So it was amazing that the GM came and said hi to us. Two golf pros came over and said hi to us, just welcome us to the club and say thanks for visiting. So a really amazing place over there. Their hospitality is fantastic and a really cool place to play golf. I mean, they have comfort stations on the golf course.
Yeah, so
I mean,
two, like hole five and hole like 13 or something.
And then again, after 16,
right?
So three times on the course, you come across these, I mean, if I would paint a picture, it would probably sound to some people like heaven. What about you? Describe this to us.
So it was a typical golf course. Most people think a comfort station. You have water, an ice machine, and a bathroom. Very minimally, you have a bathroom stop. Mm-hmm. This was, they had like a pull through, like you were dropping off at a hotel. So you pulled your cart into this like pull through area. You get out, mind you, it's Arizona. So it's 110 degrees outside, air conditioned kitchen, five or six refrigerators stocked with protein shakes, sparkling waters, literal water, soda, Prime. They had freezers. You grabbed an ice cream two times.
on the front nine and the back nine. I embraced the moments, man. I had me an ice cream bar. Front nine, back nine. Mom, I at least had a hard-boiled egg and some apple slices. So I got my protein and my good food in. And then I had my ice cream snack.
I had Uncrustable and a hard-boiled egg jerky. And it was full of everything. And then, of course, they had bathrooms in there, and I've never seen anything like it. So the jokes were made like, hey, you guys can go play golf. I'm hanging here the rest of the day. Like, I ate more food for free, thank you, Estancia, than I'm kind of used to. Normally I get
on
kind
a
of
golf a, course. Right?
Normally I get like a glizzy like at the turn and a hot dog, and like, that's good, but like... This was next level.
Upper echelon is when like the glizzy turns into a brat with some fresh peppers and onions. And like maybe someone's like drinking a cold IPA or something. No, this place is like everything you could want. And, oh, so good.
Then we walked into the bathroom, and you can't call it a bathroom. You call this thing a locker room. And in the private side, everyone, best of my knowledge, all the members have a locker with their name on it. And there's a bathroom attendant. This bathroom had a bar in the men's locker room that was bigger than most restaurants.
And staffed.
And it was
someone
staffed.
Was there.
Yeah.
Like 12 rounds of golf. Someone was there.
On the weekly schedule, it says men's bathroom bartender. Like that's probably the title on the weekly schedule. And he's like, that's me. You know, I'm slinging drinks. But that's where the camaraderie is at. We were talking about.
Can you imagine like coming off of 18, go take a shower. I'll get to the shower part in a second. Yeah. I'm a shower snob at like some of these country clubs. It's my guilty pleasure. You finish your shower, get a change of clothes, and just go straight to the bar. And the bartender already has your drink on the rocks waiting for you.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there chilling, man, fresh out of the shower. It's the best.
Yeah.
But to elaborate on this locker room that Alex has painted a picture for us, in my past life, I was so honored and lucky to do demo days for Callaway from, gosh, what years were that? 2011 to 2016. From, I would say, Paso Robles all the way down to the LA Orange County border. And it became a guilty pleasure of mine to, after every single demo day, so I would be displaying all of the products from Callaway Golf. I would pack up the truck, put everything away. Kyle would go, like, find his way into the men's locker room, sneak into the shower, like, put his clothes over on the side, and, like, secretly rank all of these showers. So there's good ones across LA. There's great ones across LA. Bel Air is, like, the number one that I've always put up there.
So cool.
And I told you, I was like, I'm going to have to take a shower and see what this is. It was number two or maybe one and a half.
Yeah.
It was amazing. The one side of the bathroom just opened up to four showers on either side of the walkway, which had their own lights, their own closing, beautiful shower curtains with stone and tile wrapped around, with not just a shower head coming out of the water facing you, but a giant 12-inch wide shower head that rained down
moments
on you
were
from
embraced.
Above. It was... It was like the greatest 3 minutes of embracing the moments right after a round of golf. It was amazing. So
this locker room had a hot tub, a sauna, beautiful towels that like are nicer than any bath towel I've seen.
And
they
did
had,
you catch that? That was only the top story.
Yeah.
There was a bottom story in the locker room.
I know, dog. And then they have every amenity that a men's locker room could want, you know, from sunscreen to, you know, cologne and
razors,
all that stuff.
Electric and you know, straight blade.
Yeah. They were very proud of, you know, their club champion from 2023, who is a member there, Bubba Watson.
Yes.
And they loved,
oh yeah,
they have pictures of him all around, and to see his locker room there. I mean, you know, that's like one day, you know, in 20 years when Bubba's past his prime, I mean, he's certainly maybe past it now, but he's like, you know, he's moved on and they're going to be like, this was his club. This is his locker room.
Yeah.
And I was kind of taking that in a little bit, you know, the amount of stories and the amount of people that have walked through here to just be like golf, golf, golf. Let me talk to you about the history of this place. It's like,
yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah. It's a serious commitment, you know, financially to join a place like this, and what you get back, it's rewarding.
It's rewarding.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. A lot of my friends, it's just, you said at the beginning, a lot of my friends, like, it's public golf. It's what, you know, what I grew up doing, what I kind of know. And so hearing you and Steph talk about the private side, you mentioned it very briefly, but why does Kyle Jones love the private side of golf?
I think I mentioned it in saying that in being on the private side, certainly at an equity club like this, it allows you to be a master of intention.
Such a good word. Yeah.
When you're really mastering intention, every decision that you make is furthering your goal and your purpose to maximum efficiency.
Yeah.
Right. And every decision that you make, you're not bogged down by this month, I need to save 5% or I need to push 5% because we've made some extra money. So let me try and cover some extra expenses this month. None of that little nitty gritty detail is in there. Your focus is purely on the experience of your owners, which is all of the people who own that golf club. Right. So, many times some of these facilities, are just massive community clubs because you have the financial security of this number of people who are locked into these monthly dues. When one exits, there's 200 people just waiting to get into that one spot. When you have that financial stability, you can have an asset or a golf club that costs quite a bit more. So you're talking pools and gyms and multiple restaurants and activity space. So when you're asking a golfer to join your club, what you also get is the privilege and the honor to manage a club that serves the golfer, but also this person's entire family.
Yeah.
Right. So if it's him, he's bringing his whole family, the missus and the kids. If it's her, well, now she's going to bring all of her kids and someone else. Or if it's a junior member or a single member, then they're just enriching their entire life with all of the activities of a club. So at a public course, we get to welcome a massive number of individuals on our property.
Yeah.
If we have 55,000 rounds played, maybe that's 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a lot, right? So the connection that you can make with those people, the impact that you can make with those people, it can certainly be made, but it's limited.
Yeah.
When you have these 300 people or 500 or maybe even 700 or 1,000 at some of these very large clubs, again, going back to the master of intention and being the best version of yourself, that's where true, deep, meaningful connection happens.
Yeah.
So every decision that you're making to improve your club, you have a relationship with every single one of the people that it's going to impact, right? So for someone like myself who takes on too much ownership of my responsibilities and I work myself, you know, very, very hard to create the best impact in my club that I possibly can for my golfer and the entire community, I think there is just this ability in the private world,
yep,
excuse me, to master intention,
yeah,
and really take it a lot further. But that doesn't mean that there also isn't the businessman inside of me who really enjoys crushing GOP, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I have played a pretty big role in you know, humbly leading our region and mm-hmm. generating GOP since you and I have partnered, right? So this not to say that financial success is not something that you and I take pride in, because we've been number one for a reason, right?
Yeah.
At least in expectation to our budget. So there's so many differences in what your expectations are as a leader in both of those things. But the golf professional in me is just so overjoyed to be able to use the game of golf to run businesses or community impacting facilities.
Yeah. It's Phoenix, I would say, is probably the heart of public golf in many ways, plenty of private golf, but you get up into the northern part of Arizona, the Flagstaffs, it's only private clubs. There's one public
yeah,
and Flag and
many private.
I'm from the Wyoming world, you know, the Western Midwest-ish type of, you know, part of the United States, and Jackson Hole, one of the beautiful golf places in the world, only private courses, you know? So it's really cool to be in the epicenter of, both of those here in Phoenix, where we are very accessible to public golf. We can go play down the road, you know, just paying cash up front and having a good time. But we can also kind of sneak into these private clubs and get, you know, pull the veil back a little bit and experience that side too. Both are fun, both are valuable, and we love it.
Yeah. As operators, there's something you and I talked about that I want to challenge other golf course operators to think of. And this is something that I think allows us to really maintain the passion for what we do.
Yeah.
On the same given day, we're going to have two golfers come and play our property. And Superstition Springs, or the golf course that you are currently operating, is both going to be the nicest golf course that golfer ever visits. And for that other golfer, maybe it's the worst golf course that it ever visits, right? So there is this massive world of expectations in the game of golf. You can take a private club person and drop them off at a public golf course. Maybe they'd be shocked at the course conditions. Because I know you and I were absolutely shocked at course conditions and expectations on the private side.
Yeah.
Even being golf course operators, we were still blown away at that. So to run a facility where we're going to have two people who join us on the same day and their experience will both individually be the best golf course they've ever played and the worst golf course they've ever played, that's powerful.
It's powerful.
That's really powerful.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool because it shows the number of people you can impact, the various level of people that you can impact. And at the end of the day, it is green grass and hot dogs. Mm-hmm. And we're getting people out on the golf course to try and have, you know, four and a half hours of rest, relaxation, or moments with without their boss breathing down their neck, mm-hmm. right? So it's a great place to be right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Speaking of those things, I know you are my boss, but we're going to play some amazing golf this upcoming week. We are going to go have those embracing the moments yet again this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for those listening, I hate to make you jealous, but we're going to be playing a golf course called Snoqualmie.
Yep. The club at Snoqualmie Ridge.
Snoqualmie, Washington. Yep. And the beautiful Chambers Bay. These two courses are going to offer us a beautiful delight. One of them is just, it's Snoqualmie. I don't know much about it.
Host of the Boeing Classic on the Senior PGA Tour or the Champions Tour.
Mm-hmm. Private club?
It's a private club.
And we're going to be there high-fiving, enjoying a stogie, and hitting pars.
Yeah.
And there's going to be four of us. And then we're going to go to Chambers Bay, where we're going to be walking 18 with a caddy because carts aren't allowed there. And we're going to be there for the L's for Autism tournament. And I'm excited.
I'm excited too. It's going to be a week of amazing golf. You and I made a declaration and we said 2024 is going to be the year of golf. And here we are in late July and it's been the year of golf. Yeah. So I am very much looking forward to this weekend. I could play zero golf and just be happy to be in 75 degree weather with like a 40% chance of rain.
I'm bringing a jacket.
So bring it on.
Yeah. I don't care what I shoot. I'm just happy to be there with the people I'm shooting it with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's going to be really fun.
It's going to be fun.
You know, get away from the heat, spend some time with, you know, you, Steph, you know, our golf professional we mention all the time and another one of our employees on our team, John Leisure. So it's going to be a great trip with the four of us to get away for a little bit. And then we'll come right back at it and keep grinding away here to get ready for the golf season.
Good. It'll give us some stuff to talk about on next week's episode. It's going to be fun. But I want to end today on this little episode. I'm going to read you some stuff that Kyle Jones wrote in circa...
Oh, my.
I think this was 2020. So...
Is this what I think it is?
This is exactly what you think it is.
It's 2020.
2020.
Yeah.
So these are three questions that were asked of Kyle in 2020. What do you want? What is real? And what are you going to do about it? Three beautiful questions that Kyle, as an AGM sitting in my seat, I think at Superstition, is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
That was asked. And this is what he wrote. Professionally, he wants to become this is like reading a diary or like you ever do like a goal thing where you like write down some goals. Mm-hmm. You probably wrote this as a little, you know, something like a little worksheet, a little workshop. And I want you to consider how much of this stuff has come to fruition. Professionally, become a GM at an Arcus property and continue to focus on building a team of individuals dedicated to delivering the difference in guest experience and establishing the essential Arcus golf culture that places our purpose at the forefront of our game plan. I'm going to say that again. That places our purpose at the forefront of our game plan. It's about who we are, not what we do. And that's what's important. My goal is to be a team leader that develops growth mindset that leads department heads in creating productive job responsibilities and inspire them to connect with employees and guests alike. I strive to lead a facility that generates excitement and loyalty to both that unique facility and the entire brand of Arcus. Kyle in 2020 wrote this.
Yeah.
And here we are in 2023, sitting here in your office. And this has come to pass.
Yeah.
What is real? Professionally and personally, confident in my abilities. Was Kyle Jones a little not very confident at this point?
I think he just wanted so much.
Yeah.
And knew that there were things that needed to happen to get there that didn't exist.
Confident in my abilities to build a team and and a facility dedicated to our purpose. I'm realizing that I'm saying yes to an exorbitant amount of facility employee needs that can be delegated to other team leaders or department heads. I can just see you running. You're running so fast. You're saying yes to everything, yes to everybody.
Yeah.
You're trying to make, you're putting this facility on your shoulders. And your GM probably didn't even know it.
Yeah, ask my wife. I was working a lot, man. I was working a lot.
I'm dedicated to spending more time contemplating where to place my time and effort and accomplish the essential tasks that are in front of me. Moving to Arizona has been incredible for my wife and I. Being a part of a Phoenix team has provided a much larger sense of being a part of a bigger picture. Lastly, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to work with my GM and RVP, Regional Vice President, to ensure I'm providing the best support to my facility and embodying the image of a humble servant leader in the management role of Arcus. This describes Kyle Jones today, wow. A humble servant leader, man. My mindset every day is to love the people around me and to share the excitement that I have for running a golf facility and working for a company that aligns with my purpose and beliefs. Kyle, welcome to 2024, dog.
Yeah, that's powerful.
It's powerful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's powerful that I didn't know Kyle in 2020.
Right.
But I knew what Kyle was probably like in 2020.
Yeah, you do.
And bro, you're doing it. Yeah. I hope that you have an opportunity to realize, and I'm getting emotional saying it, you're living the Kyle 2020 dream. As stressful as shit can get here.
Yeah.
And you lose sleep over it. Don't lose sight of what Kyle wanted in 2020.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful with, you know, a tear scrolling down my cheek right now. if this video ever gets posted. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah. And that's what this podcast has always been about, for you and I to be able to take a step back from the day-to-day tasks that we complete each and every day and remind ourselves why we do what we do. Mm. And it's to impact the people. And what I had no idea I was so about even back then, every goal was about the people that I'm around.
Always
and the
was.
People that I'm with. And yeah. It's not anything else other than that. So for us to be about you and I partnering together in 2024 to create an environment where life happens at its best, it's just rewriting those words that I wrote in 2020. And yeah. I'm very happy that you shared that.
Yeah.
So thank you, man.
Proud of you, man.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, that being said, I think that's got to conclude our episode. What a fun run. Let's keep running. Let's go shoot some good golf, but embrace the moments along the way.
Embrace the moments, find peace, and just spread some love.
Yeah. We'll see you next week, everybody.